Welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and with me today is horror icon, legend, deity, demigoddess, Barbara Crampton. And I'm so happy to have a chance to chat with her for even if it's a short while. So welcome, Barbara.
Oh, that's quite an introduction, Summer. Thank you very much.
I am quite a fan of your work. Horror and thrillers are in my wheelhouse, and you have popped up in some of the most unexpected moves. I'm like, hey, wait, there she is right there. And you seem to be having a lot of fun working in these very diverse types of films. There's horror, there's horror comedy, there's dark thrillers, there's outright crazy combinations of the two. Your recent movie last year, Jacob's Wife, was such a delight.
Oh, thank you so much.
And you are in two other indie films coming up, Alone With You and King Knight. And this gives me a chance to ask, what prompts you to choose a particular role? Is it how much screen time you have, how little screen time, how much fun you think you're going to have with the character, or a combination?
Well, I never choose a role because I'll have a lot of screen time at all, because I go back to, you know, I think Shakespeare said there are no small parts, there are only small actors. And if I feel like even in a small role, it has a bit of an arc and there's something that I can bring to it that's going to help the director or the writer tell the story or illuminate the human condition in some way, then it becomes attractive to me. And that was definitely the case with Alone With You. I didn't know Emily Bennett or Justin Brooks, who wrote and directed the movie, but it had come to me through a casting director that I worked with before. And I knew that Andrew Corkin was one of the producers of it with Theo James, and you know, I was a fan of a lot of the movies that those guys have been involved with. So I read the script and I really loved what the movie was doing. It's pure horror, you know, there's a lot of terror and anxiousness and sadness and grief and guilt and scares, and I didn't know where the movie was going, and it surprised me. And so when I read the script, I usually am able to kind of figure out in a horror film, oh, this is probably what this movie's about. But I didn't really know. And I appreciated that about the writing. I thought the writing was really great. And then I talked to Emily and Justin and really thought that they really knew what they were doing. And this was their first film. And I like to support young filmmakers. And it was my honor and my pleasure to play Emily Bennett's mother, of her character Charlie in the movie, who, you know, is as I've gotten older, I'm playing more complicated parts and parts that maybe aren't as seemingly nice as when I was younger, when I was playing, you know, more of the femme fatale part, or you know, a young woman who's, you know, running for her life. I'm playing more interesting characters, a lot more interesting characters, I'd say, in the latter part of my career. And so, you know, I really thought that potentially I could bring something to this role, you know, playing this mother who's unforgiving and overbearing and judgmental, and helping an audience to understand Emily's character of Charlie and where she is today, and maybe help an audience understand why she has made the choices that she's made in her life.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of the psychological horrors, the psychological mm-hmm. thrillers, and having characters written that dance around that edge of psychological, you know, somewhere in between manipulation mm-hmm. and malice, and having it played such deftness with a character who mm-hmm. really understands how dark people's souls can get is, for me, a mm-hmm. lot of fun to watch. So thank you for that.
Yeah, I mean, we all have these things inside of us, right? I mean, I think I'm a nice person, and for the most part I am, and I'm pretty communicative and open, but there's parts of all of us where do we fall short with that? You know, where are we not communicative, and where are we so fixed in our opinions that we're immovable? And I think it's good to ask yourself those questions, and even if you're not an actor, and find out who you are and where you can be better as a person, and where you can be a little bit more open, and definitely exploring characters like these kinds of women, you know, in Alone with You and also in King Knight, in the new Ricky Bates movie that's coming out a week after Alone with You, is just playing both women that are, you know, seemingly really hard to grasp and understand how they could be the way they are, and to kind of illuminate how they got to be there as well is just part of what I love about acting and sort of illuminating the human condition for an audience and helping a filmmaker tell a story.
Is there a particular type of horror that you get excited to play? Because we have, you know, you mentioned mm-hmm. King Knight. There's a more of a comedic edge to that mm-hmm. compared to Alone with You. And I thought that there was definitely a dark comedic undercurrent yeah. in Jacob's Wife. So you have that uh-huh. that play against, you know, yeah. this is funny, but it's also horrific. But yeah, it's still funny.
Yeah, I mean, I think it comes down to tone always, you know, what's the personality of the movie? And I think that usually comes from the director. What kind of personality does the director have? Because usually they're telling the story through their eyes. And so to understand the tone of a movie, you have to kind of follow what the director's vision is and understand, you know, how they want to tell the story, in what cadence do they want to tell the story, and you know, what's their energy, and how do they see the world? And I do feel like unconsciously a lot of directors really put their own personalities into a movie. So if you kind of understand the director, you can kind of understand the tone of a movie a little bit more. But a lot of these movies that I do, they don't have specific tones. I mean, some of them are just really dark. You know, some of them are really just funny, like, and some of them have a combination of both. But if you can play with tone a little bit, I think audiences like that to a certain degree. I think it's harder to do. I think it's a harder thing to do, to play with a tone like we did with Reanimator. You know, it was a horror film, but had a lot of comedy in it. Jacob's Wife, we played with the tone a lot. And then there's some movies that are just purely really a little darker. Like Alone with You, I would say, has a more more straight and narrow tone to it, and that it's a psychological dark thriller horror film. But it you know, there's not a lot of levity there. So I think it's harder when you're playing with the tones. But I think a lot of that comes from the director. So it's mapping that out and getting that right, I think it's really important up front.
And is that a conversation you have with the director of the film you're working on? You go in and say, where do you want me to aim?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, usually if I'm working with a director, I'll say, you know, what are the types of movies that you like or that you think this is akin to in the feeling of it? You know, and everybody's going to get a different feeling, right? I mean, even as an audience member, you're going to read the cues of a movie a little bit differently than somebody else is going to read it, because even as a viewer, you are seeing the movie through your own lens and how you see the world and your own personality. And so you might get a different feeling from it. But as close as you can to try to understand what the director is going for. And of course, it's through your lens too, because, you know, everybody colors everything, you know, with themselves. But to have everybody feel like they're in the same movie is important. And I think by talking about this, that's a really interesting subject for me. I think people, sometimes if you watch a movie, you could see two characters in a movie and go, oh, they're not in the same movie as those other actors. You know, they're doing, what are they doing? They're doing something a little different. It's really up to the director to help mold a performance so that everybody feels like they're in the same movie. But it's really important going into it to understand, you know, talking to the director, well, how are you going to shoot this and how is it going to feel and what kind of music do you think you're going to want to use and what do you want it to feel like and look like, and using, you know, the easiest shorthand is to just use references of other movies. Not that you want to copy anybody, but you want to say, okay, this is an erotic thriller, so this is going to feel like Basic Instinct, or this is going to feel like Evil Dead if you're doing a splatter sort of comedy. And, you know, we understand what that means. I mean, if you're working on a film, you understand, oh yeah, I get what you mean, you know, and then you talk about it a little bit more. But those conversations are always fun and really important to have.
Awesome. Well, you are very active on Twitter. Where else can people find you and keep up with what you're doing next?
Well, I have an ongoing column in Fangoria magazine.
Nice.
Called Scene Queen, and I write about kind of just whatever I feel like. They let me do whatever I want to do, and so I've, you know, recently written columns about, you know, I wrote about the horror genre, and specifically why we don't have more women villains and why we have so many men villains. And so that was one of the things I wrote about. And then writing about fandom and how toxic fandom can really, kind of upset the whole genre and upset people and not let filmmakers do their best work. Recently I wrote about nudity and sexuality in horror films and, you know, where that's been and where we're going with that. And I'm going to be writing a new column on a new blurb for my column just on what is it like playing good characters versus bad characters? Like, what's more fun or what's more interesting or what's different about them? So that's the new one I'm working on. So I do that. And then I'm, you know, on Instagram and working on developing some other films, producing and potentially some acting in some, and then in others, I'll just be a producer on. So working on those things.
Awesome. Well, Barbara, I want to thank you for your time and your insight today.
Thank you, Summer. Good to talk to you.
The movies are Alone With You in theaters and on demand and digital February 4th and February 8th, and King Knight coming up theaters on demand and digital on February 17th. Check those out if you can. And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Slice of Sci-Fi.
Escape Pod is your destination for the best in modern short science fiction. Our intrepid crew of editors and hosts will bring you fun, thought-provoking in-flight entertainment every week as the pod careens around the multiverse. In the mood for a classic? We've got Anson Mount, also known as Captain Christopher Pike, reading Theodore Sturgeon. Want something a little more up-to-date? Jennifer R. Donahue's Surveillance Fatigue has you covered. In every sense. From classic space opera to intimate character drama. From heroic alien pets waiting for their families to herds of Einsteins and the benevolent conspiracy they're hatching, Escape Pod has it all. Take a ride with us at escapepod.org. and buckle up, because it's story time.
Hey folks, this is Bruce Campbell, and this is my podcast. Thank you very much.
And once again, the two new movies that Barbara can be found in are Alone With You, which opened on-demand digital and DVD on February 8th, and King Knight, which technically opened yesterday, February 18th. You can find those on your favorite digital providers or on demand. Both are very different tones, and both Barbara is excellent, of course. How about you? Are there any actors, either leads or character roles, that if you see them in a movie, you say, I'm going to watch it just because they're in it? Let me know. Send me an email, summer@sliceofsci-fi.com, or go ahead and call in, leave a voicemail message. The number is 602-635-6976. And of course, you can always come to the website, leave a comment in the discussion section of this episode, or if you have other questions, the discussion areas of those shows as well. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Player FM, and iHeartRadio. And if you're listening on Apple or Stitcher, please consider leaving us a review. Let people know you are enjoying this show, and maybe they should check it out for themselves. Also, you can leave a rating or a review for us over on Podchaser. You can also start up a conversation with me over on Twitter, @SliceOfSciFi. Yes, I will talk about a various number of things. So go ahead and browse the feed and see if there are any questions or comments you would like to follow up on. If you're interested in some of the movies, TV shows, and books that the Slice of Sci-Fi crew enjoys, pretty soon you'll be able to view an expanded, curated list of Slice of Sci-Fi selects chosen by the people who make this show so much fun and the website so detailed. SliceOfSciFi.net is the place to go with that. You can support by purchasing things through those links over there and start up discussions on why we like certain shows, certain movies, certain books, certain soundtracks. Hey, old school. Remember CDs? Remember those things? But yeah, that's a new way to start supporting us. The tried and true way is through patronage, pledges, and donations. I would like to thank the people who are currently supporting Slice of Sci-Fi and all the shows and websites in the Slice of Sci-Fi universe through Patreon, through Ko-fi, through PayPal. I sincerely extend my heartfelt gratitude to all of our supporters, no matter which platform they're using. If you'd like to add your support, the place to go is patreon.com/sliceofsci-fi. You can pick a tier, any tier, and you will become eligible for perks. Patreon perks include books, DVDs, Blu-rays, 4Ks of the various movies and shows that we review here, and books that we review over on Writers After Dark. I simply don't have the space to keep all of this stuff, so finding the best way to pass along the goodies to our loyal listeners, supporters, and fans, that's the least I can do, right? So head on over to Patreon and throw your email address in that hat. You can also support on Ko-fi, that's ko-fi.com/sliceofsci-fi, and also through PayPal. The link is paypal.me/sci-fi-summer. And that'll do it for this episode. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.